whenever you need to take a break, this is a great opportunity to pop in the Evergreen newsletter so you can still be nurturing your audience while you're working on your big thing or while you're just taking some me time.
Hey everyone, I'm Emily Reagan, and you've discovered Unicorns Unite. This is a podcast for freelancers, service providers, virtual assistants, and curious listeners who would like to experience the freedom and flexibility of working virtually. We're the magic makers, movers and shakers, and the real people doing the work behind the scenes of online businesses. Welcome to Unicorns Unite.
But first, this podcast is sponsored by castmagic.io. It's used for podcasts, video streamers, and long-form content creators who want to get more mileage out of their content. Sign up for this AI tool and get a free 7-day trial. Just go to get.castmagic.io/unicorns. Well, hello there. Welcome to Unicorns Unite. I'm your host, Emily Reagan, a fellow freelancer, mom of four. And I'm so glad you're here because today we can dive into some marketing services you could offer that give you the ultimate dream that we'd like to say time, freedom, and flexibility. One of the reasons I love to offer marketing services is I saw very quickly in my freelancer career that if I leaned into marketing and less management, less operations, less admin, then I had more freedom because I could work ahead. And I needed that as a mom of four of very active kids. Marketing really lends itself to get ahead, even if your clients are requiring weekly tasks. You can get organized, you can systematize, you can batch things, and you can work on your schedule. Whereas I find a lot of admin jobs, even launch management, OBM jobs, you are tied to the working hours of your client. For me, I value freedom. Hello. That's why I'm not working down the street at Capital One. And so I really like to help my unicorns get started in the marketing mailroom, offer hourly raise, and then progress into project rates, progress into marketing manager roles where they're able to charge these ongoing, reoccurring retainer rates at higher levels and be more responsible for the outcomes. And so it just becomes this beautiful freelance work, beautiful work opportunity. And I've seen people do it with all different types of backgrounds. I've helped over 400 students go through my Unicorn Digital Marketing Assistant School, learn the marketing services, add in their own passion, talents, and hobbies, and then be able to go out there and offer digital services. And everybody's so unique because we all come from different backgrounds, different kinds of educations, job experiences. And then we have this whole thing called human personality and interest, and it can make working with one client more interesting than another when you feel passionate about their mission, what they're doing, what they're teaching, even the photos you're handling and editing. It can make all the difference. My guest today, Toyin Ali, has a really good marketing service that you could offer as a freelancer that gives you that time freedom too. But the cool thing is it also helps your client have time freedom, which is their goal, right? They need to be working on things in their business that really move the needle. And it's so easy for these marketing tasks to suck us in, get stuck in the weeds, formatting. And I say whenever you have to push a button, your client shouldn't be doing that. Someone else should be pushing the button. If they're creating a dream business where they are fully supported and they've pulled out of the weeds. So my guest is a math professor and CEO who figured out how to run a couple businesses at the same time and serve her clients with this thing called Evergreen Newsletters. So first, before we dive in, I want to tell you Dr. Toyin Ali has a freebie for you. It's a 16-minute audio guide that will help you figure out your email list, writing these newsletters, what that looks like. So I would like you to run and download that. You might even want your clients to download it, but it will allow you to really soak in this information today, apply what you've learned, but it also helps you sell the service, right? Hearing it multiple different ways and hearing different angles will help you sell this service as a freelancer. So today we're going to talk about what this is, what does it look like? I dive into logistics, but why is this a valuable marketing strategy? I really want you to run with this because there are situations where it makes sense for your client. It makes sense for you to offer this as a project and how you can position yourself. And I said this on the podcast, but I have to say this again. Email is one of those things. It's easy to get your foot in the door because clients are already needing to do it weekly. And then when it comes launch season or sales cycle season, they need to do it on steroids, like 10x. They need to send out even more emails. So they're always looking for email help when it comes to crunch time. And if you can get in the door with the weekly newsletters or doing some kind of project, then it can open the doors inside their business. So I have done a lot of list building funnels, lead magnet opt-ins, building those. And I teach how to do this weekly email and how to track, how to report, everything you need to know about tagging, segmenting, all the different sequences. So you can offer this as a service, but we also start getting into the funnels inside the Unicorn Digital Marketing Assistant School. By the way, the self-study is open now. So if you're listening to this going into the summer, you have some time to do some training videos and work on your business so that you're set up by the fall. Now would be the perfect time to enroll in the self-study and hold yourself accountable throughout the summer to do the big work, because this isn't easy. It's not easy to set a business up for scratch, but it will set yourself up, right? When the kids go back to school, you'll be fully prepared. And email marketing, we're very heavy in there because there is so much work. You know, I've shared 2,000 jobs with our unicorns over in the Digital Marketers Work Group, at least that we've tracked. We're kind of losing track over there. And I guarantee you, over 50% need help showing up in the inbox. And it's so important. So we do have other podcasts that talk about launch strategy. We have a whole series of copywriters on the show talking about copywriting. And then if you're in the work group, we have trainings on how to do Tamika OI's nurture matrix, which is very similar, where you're giving this orderly sequence of emails that you want your new subscribers to go through. But we also have an amazing welcome sequence training with copywriter Kim Keel, who is also on the show. Just know that the work group is your place to level up, dive deeper. Whenever you can niche down and stand out, make yourself different from all of the other virtual assistants. When you can have specific services that speak to your client and help them solve a problem, not just generic, like, oh, I help with email marketing, like really nail it down. Toyin does that really well today. I'm not going to spoil it. I want you to hear what she says about how you can take this angle for your clients. As you're listening, go ahead and tag Dr. Toyin Ali at Dr. Toyin Ali and me on Instagram and let us know your big aha. This is a great way to build your network because she's working with business owners who are going to need to hire us, marketing assistants and email tech VAs. She's amazing. She's a math professor and CEO and a business owner who runs the Academic Society. She helps graduate students with time management and productivity. Don't worry, I asked her for her best tips at the end. And she also helps professors build a semester-proof business that is reliably profit during the busy semester. So we know what this is like. My mom life is like this, like ebb and flow. Sometimes I have more time, sometimes I have less time. So your clients are in the same boat. If you can make something and create something once, repurpose the heck out of it and be very smart, which Toyin is teaching you, you are going to stand out and go so far, my friend. All right, let's jump in. Hey, Toyin, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here today, breaking down Evergreen newsletters. First, tell everyone a little bit about you, what you do for work, and how you got to this place.
I'm Dr. Toyin Ali. I actually have a PhD in math, which can sound a bit intimidating. I am a professor. I teach math at the University of Georgia, but I also run a couple brands. So one business, a couple brands under that business. When I was first starting my job as a lecturer at the University of Georgia, I kind of knew I needed something like outside of that job to like fulfill myself, to really help and give back to the community that I once was a part of when I was in graduate school. So I started the Academic Society originally just to help graduate students survive grad school through time management and productivity. And then eventually I had done it for like 6-ish years and people started asking me, well, how are you running this business while you're also being a professor? And so then I started helping academics create their own business. And I call this business a semester-proof business. So it's one that can still be reliably profitable even during the most busy semester. And now I'm pivoting again and also helping professors with their teaching, because that's one of my greatest strengths, is helping my students engage in the coursework and do really well, even in super scary classes like calculus. So that's a little bit about me and a quick glimpse into my story.
Oh, I love that. First of all, you need to know you have a fellow math nerd interviewing you. I rocked at calculus. I just didn't really need it for my journalism degree, but I love math. I'm trying to instill that with my kids because they're like, when am I ever going to need this? So I'm like, just do it and do it the way your teacher's asking you. Like, this is how we do math. It's easy. So, I love it. Sometimes I'm like, what could I have done if I had done the engineering route? But like, I'm happy and I'm creative. I love that you found this whole extra side hustle. Like you said, fulfilling something in you that went beyond your job description. I'm just kind of curious. I don't know this story. How did you enter the online world and start learning all about marketing? And how did that happen?
I'm a lifelong learner, so I love learning. So there's just a new thing to learn. But when I was ending grad school, people would ask me, oh, what do you like to do? What are your hobbies? And I was like, grad school is my hobby. I wasn't really doing anything. And so I got on Pinterest and I learned about blogging. And so I started blogging when I was still a graduate student about how I prepped to teach my classes, how I prepped my meals when I had to like stay on campus all day, what I wore to teach and things like that. And then I started learning about how to monetize a blog. And I was really drawn to online education and like teaching courses and things like that, because that fit most naturally with who I am. When I landed my job at the University of Georgia, I was like, all right, I'm willing to invest in this. And so I started taking courses about courses and marketing and copywriting. And like, I'm always in someone's course like every year.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I love that. My listeners are lifelong learners. A lot of us get started with blogging services too. So that's pretty cool. But what I hear is this bigger overarching theme of you being efficient and productive and finding ways to do this that aligns with your main job, like gives you the space with your main job. So my first question for you is, well, what do you do for fun outside of like the nerdy learning things?
I'm glad you asked. So I dance. I joined an adult dance company at a dance studio, and we practice every single week on Monday, and we even do performances. So we recently did this big production of like Moulin Rouge through dance. It was so much fun. So that's one of the things I do for fun. And even though I do share my business on YouTube, I'm a YouTube girl. I love watching YouTube. I love getting sucked into a new TV series as well. Those are a couple things I do.
I had a feeling you would have a fun answer to that. Like, you just seem like a very well-rounded person. I'm like drawn to that. So that's fun.
Thank you.
Okay, so you went from blogging and then you're here on the show today to talk about evergreen newsletters. Let's jump into that because I know this is also about being efficient and freeing up your time. So what do you want to teach us about evergreen newsletters? And we should probably start with what they are because we might have listeners who haven't started doing this work yet who are very curious about what it would look like to be working with clients.
Maybe I'll share a little bit of background on how I got into it, and then we'll talk about what it actually is. So when I started my business, the Academic Society for Graduate Students, I was sending a weekly newsletter every Monday morning. I would hit publish and send them an email about grad school. As the years went on, I got new people who are entering grad school, entering my community, and they never got to see those newsletters that I wrote before. And so what I ended up doing was just like copying and pasting old email newsletters when they were like relevant, because some were quite timely. Like, I have a very cyclical business, like based on the semesters. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, what if I just take all of my best emails and put them in an email sequence and let everyone get to see them as soon as they join my email list? Then I just kept adding to it, and then it became like a 6 month long thing. So what I define an evergreen newsletter is one that you don't have to hit publish on every single week. It's a collection of your best content, and it could be just to nurture your audience, or it could be to sell any of your offers. Basically, you set it up once and then you send it to your email subscribers, and they just get a weekly release or however often release of that evergreen newsletter without you having to do any more work. They get to learn about you and they get your best content, even though you may have written it like 3 years ago.
Oh my gosh, I love that. It's so smart and it's so efficient. And I think about that too, because I have some really funny, well-written emails that I put a lot of attention into, but now my audience has grown and I really want to get those in front of them. So how is an evergreen newsletter sequence different than a welcome sequence, or some people might also call them a nurture sequence, or is it the same thing?
Yeah, you can think of them as the same, or you could set them up the exact same way. I like to think about the welcome sequence as maybe like a 3 to 5 email sequence that kind of gets people into your world. Maybe you sell them an offer towards the end of it. And the Evergreen newsletter is meant to be more of a continuation. So keeping that regular touch point with your audience and helping them get even more invested in your world. As I mentioned, you can use your Evergreen newsletter just to nurture your audience. But if you want to up the efficiency, I kind of build out my Evergreen newsletter in like cycles, like sales cycles. So I'll like nurture on a specific topic. And if I have an offer that's related to it, I put it in front of my audience via my Evergreen newsletter. And then there's a new cycle and then a new cycle. So I can constantly be putting different offers in front of my audience through that sequence as well. Setup wise, you can create it just like a welcome sequence. You can just add it to the end of your welcome sequence, or you can create a whole separate email sequence to plug into your business wherever you see fit.
I really love this idea, especially going into summer. You and I were talking about our summer plans, and my goal is really to, I say it every year, but my goal is to really dial it down and kind of go on autopilot. And I had talked to Timi and I said, I don't want to write any of my emails this summer. I love that she could go back and maybe repurpose them. So at least I have a scheduled break, but I'm still showing up in front of my audience and I can bring back some of those emails from a couple years ago. And this is different than like every week a marketing assistant would come in, format the email, put it in the email service provider. There's just like a lot of work when it comes to scheduling and testing it. But you're just saying, get it set up in an automation so it comes out every 7 days. Is that what you do?
Yes. Sometimes I'll do like every 3 days, or you can set it up every Tuesday and Thursday, whatever you want, whatever frequency is best for your audience. Just stay top of mind with your audience.
Yeah. I have more logistic questions. But first, what is your favorite email service provider? What are you using in your business and which ones do you like?
Well, I've only used one my whole career, ConvertKit. I love ConvertKit. It's very like easy to use, and I think it's pretty beginner friendly as well. It's not terribly expensive, and I think they have a free plan now, which is awesome. And it makes creating funnels really easy because of their visual automation. So you can visually see, all right, this person signs up for this freebie. I take them to this welcome sequence. And then after this much time, I can pop them into my Evergreen newsletter and I can visually see it all mapped out. And so I know I'm doing it right.
Yes, I love that. And ConvertKit lets you have some of the if-then controls and conditions. Mm-hmm. So if someone has bought something, you can exclude them from an email too if you go into one of those sales cycles. How does it end? I'm having a hard time picturing the visual map when, say, you have a 6-month Evergreen nurture sequence. What happens after 6 months?
You can think about it a couple of ways. So maybe if someone goes through your Evergreen newsletter and you have set it up to like actually sell your offers, right? If most of the people who go through your Evergreen newsletter don't purchase any offers, maybe that means there's a disconnect with your messaging or the positioning of your offer. And then that gives you information to like go back. Which emails are people resonating with? Could I revamp these emails? Could I tweak the pitch a little bit? So I like to, once people go through, like a lot of people go through the Evergreen newsletter, I like to take a step back and like review. If things aren't going how I want them to go, then I'll rewrite some emails or maybe try a whole new thing. But if things are going well, then I just exclude the people who have bought things and then I just replay the sequence. You can make a copy of the sequence and make it go again. I don't think people will remember 6 months ago that they got the exact emails.
I know, that's so smart. I love that. You could change the subject lines, you know, in case they are paying attention or maybe test it that way. Okay, how often do you review your sequence just to make sure it's working? Because I'm a nut when it comes to tracking and data and teaching my marketing assistants to do this for their clients. What does that look like for you? Because I know ConvertKit, one reason I was frustrated with it was some of the reporting abilities and like the quick ease of seeing how things are working. But what does that look like in your business?
I mostly just look at open rates and click rates. I have pretty high open rates, especially speaking to grad students. I think most people are not speaking to graduate students. And so they're like excited, like, okay, please help me. As long as the open rates are over 50%, I feel confident about the email. Okay. If not, then I'll come back in, maybe change the subject line. And then clicks, that's one of the things I do want to get up more. So it's tweaking the messaging. So now that my business has been going on for like 7-ish years, I don't go back and tweak things. I feel like things are as tweaked as they can be. But earlier on, I would say every quarter or every 6 months would be a good amount of time to go back through and see how people are going through your sequences and your funnels.
Yeah, because you need that time. You need those numbers to go through it to really collect the data and be able to analyze what's working. So I'm curious, have you seen anything out of the box or unusual or noteworthy with your current Evergreen sequence?
Oh, that is a good question. So I think the thing that's most noteworthy for me is that it's still working. So like I set it up years ago, but I think because of the nature of my business and because students are entering into graduate school every year and they're finding me every year, there's just new people going into it on autopilot. And like the messaging that I used is still working. Like people will still buy my courses. So I think that's my biggest noteworthy thing is that it's still resonating with the students. And I spend a lot of time getting to know them and getting to know like what they were most interested in learning, what their fears were, what they were most excited about. I did a lot of like Zoom virtual chats with them, just asking them about their experience in grad school. So I feel like I know them very well. I was them. I think that's the biggest thing. I don't do anything very fancy. It's very simple. Subject line, brief discussion, and then I'll link to a video or I'll link to an offer. One call to action typically is what I will do and not do a bunch of different things. But yeah, nothing outstanding except that it's working.
Well, that's such a good lesson in marketing is I've seen this with many clients over the years. You have to do that research and understand where your audience is. And I'm so glad that it's worked out so well for you that you understand them and you're speaking their language. And that's probably why the newsletters are really, really relating to them and they're opening and they're clicking. And we can't skip that step. And as marketing assistants, we have to pay attention and help our clients gather this information and make sure they do it. Because I've seen so many clients just go off on their own tangent, creating things people didn't need and just positioning it for where they are now in business as to where people are when they started and they have all the questions. And so that's just a good reminder. Tell me, how long did it take you to create yours? Because I just think the pushback I see, some of the jobs that we're getting through our hireaunicorn.com, they're needing help with email, right? That's like, it becomes this weekly task. It's a grind. A marketing assistant can save a couple hours a week, but to sit down and just do it all or talk me through that process and how much time maybe it would take somebody brand new starting this for themselves.
So actually not long at all, especially if you're familiar with the content. If you've already been creating content or you have emails to choose from, it's all about just curating the emails and it can be just a copy paste job. I think you can do it within like an hour. And so I think one of the things to note is that you don't have to create the whole Evergreen newsletter in one sitting, in one go. You just have to be an email or two ahead of the first person in the newsletter, right? So a person signs up and then they get sent to the Evergreen newsletter. They get email one. And then the next week, they get email two. And then the next week, they get email three. So if you've only set up three emails, you got 2.5 weeks to get the next email done. I do like to say it's nice if you can start with like 5 to 10 emails, especially if you're doing weekly to just get started. And you can source the content for those emails from previous emails that you or your client has written, the ones that are like the best, the ones that are focused on maybe their best offer. And then you can also go to their social media and any like old videos or things like that and turn those into emails if you'd like to add. So I will say I do not create my Evergreen newsletters all in one sitting. I batch create them. So you can set every month, I'll put 4 to 5 more emails into my sequence, like every single month. Or if I am still creating weekly newsletters, just take the best ones, add them in there, you know? So I think you can get it set up in less than an hour for sure if there's content already created, and then you can take your time to finish it.
Is there like a progression that you're walking someone through? Because I could see myself very much getting stuck on overanalyzing, like, what is the buyer's journey? Like, what do I want them to know? And I mean, when I teach welcome sequences, you know, if we did the 3 emails, it would be like, especially if they signed up for a freebie, here's your freebie, here's your reminder to do the freebie, hello, meet me, here's my story. You know, like that's kind of like the typical welcome, and it can be longer than that. But what about that progression? Does it matter? I mean, I don't know.
I like to think that it does. So I created an offer call. I think it's the Evergreen Email Blueprint or something. And it's a whole like templated Google Doc that walks through my whole process for figuring out the order and like how many emails in each cycle. So I do like to think of my Evergreen newsletter as having different cycles, and each cycle is related to an offer. In one cycle, I may do like nurture, 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 sell, sell, sell. Nurture, 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 sell, sell, sell. And these are like different emails. Or it may be nurture, nurture, sell, nurture, nurture, sell. And I think based on what you've seen from your audience, that can tell you what might be a best fit for you. If you have people in your audience who like buy very quickly and they don't need that much information, you might do like a couple nurture emails and then a couple sells and then move on to the next cycle. Or maybe they really need to spend a long time learning about a specific topic. And maybe it's like 6 emails on a specific topic. And then it's like, oh my goodness, I've been talking to you about this thing. It sounds like you're so interested in it. Here's this offer that I think can help you as you move forward in this process. My process for creating my Evergreen newsletter is to first write out what all of my offers are, choose which ones I want to use in my Evergreen newsletter, determine which topics that I talk about relate most to those offers, including things that build my credibility. So maybe I was on someone's podcast. I would include that in my Evergreen newsletter, like any interviews I've done, any guest blogging I've done, any amazing social media posts, anything that's related to that offer, I'll collect those things. And that will go into that cycle for the part of the newsletter that sells that offer. And that's kind of how I like to think about it, one offer at a time.
So what I love about that is I am bad about talking about some of the little offers I have because I don't plan the typical, you know, launch and the open cart and the big promotion or the open enrollment for my membership. And so I've been kind of struggling. What do I do with these little babies? Like, how do I stick them in? And a lot of them are spotlight or starter courses just to wet someone's whistle and part of the ascension. And so what I'm pulling from this is maybe I should go in and add a little bit of that sales cycle and dangle it in front of my new audience. And this is a really good strategy if you're running ads. I've heard people call it the painkiller product, like test your audience to see if they'll actually buy from you once they get on your list. In 2020, I had an email list of, I like to call them very, I have to be careful how I say that, but I don't know how to say it, but just directly like couch clickers, right? And so they weren't actually taking action. And so to be able to dangle a product to see who's serious about moving forward is very helpful. And so if I can be strategic and get that in there, I think that's wise. I'm going to run with that. And I hope the marketing assistants listening to that will see those opportunities with their clients, because it's not always about, I'm going to make a ton of money and this is my signature mm-hmm. offer. How can I make sure I have an audience of buyers and doers?
That is so good. I love that. And I think an Evergreen newsletter is perfect for those little like more passive offers, maybe not a service, but like a digital course or information product or something that people can get a quick win from and it doesn't take any effort from you to deliver it. Yeah. I think that is perfect to add into your Evergreen newsletter sequence.
Okay, time out. I'm interrupting my own show to tell you about a new favorite tool. You already know that I'm all about being the best digital marketing assistant or specialist out there, and that means staying up to date with the latest AI tools and marketing strategies. Especially if you're doing project rates and retainers, you want to work faster and you always want to impress your clients at the same time. So it's a win-win, slay all day type of cliche, but it's true. So I want to tell you about my sponsor, castmagic.io. If you help your clients with podcasts, live streams, courses, memberships, summits, YouTube, any kind of video, then you want to use this tool. We had a demo recently in our digital marketers work group and it blew everyone's mind. We all loved it because you can get so much content out of it. Transcripts, show notes, social posts, emails, even create support docs, quizzes, and assessments. You can even clip videos. It's amazing. And then it goes a step further and it allows you to templatize it so it gets even faster and you get more efficient. Me and my team are using Cast Magic and they have usage-based pricing, meaning there's a plan for everyone depending on how many minutes you really need and the content you're working with. You can use my link in the show notes or go to get.castmagic.io/unicorns to start automating your content workflow. Again, that's get.castmagic.io/unicorns. All right, back to the show. So this brings up the question, who do you think evergreen sequences are right for? And I'm thinking about some of the business owners who are newer, more established. Can it work for anyone? Does it work for no one? Just kidding.
Oh, yeah. I actually think this is one of those things that works for everyone. So let's start with the newbies. So when I first started my email list, you know, my mom was on it and maybe like one person who could actually be someone who wants my thing, right? But I wanted to create the habit of writing newsletters. And so I'm writing these awesome newsletters to like three people. And so for the person who is just starting and just getting people on their email list, they can start collecting all of the emails they're writing, put it into an evergreen newsletter so that when people do join their newsletter, they have an easy way to send all of these emails to the people. And then eventually you may realize, okay, I've moved beyond this beginner email level writing. Let's take a couple of these out. Let's rewrite them. But you're never really starting from scratch, right? And so you just have this bank of content and you can even repurpose that bank for social media, all kinds of things. So I think it's great for the beginner because it's like you're not writing just for three people. 5,000 people could see the emails in the future.
What a freaking good mindset switch there. Because when you realize that this is something you're cutting your chops on, you're getting better, you're dialing in your messaging and you'll use it again, that makes it more like easier to do, to sit down and make yourself do that. And I love that idea of creating a good habit.
Okay, so then let's move to the person who may be more established and maybe they create regular content and they send regular emails. So this is the person who does like to send the weekly email to their audience. But what if they need to take a break? Maybe they want to go on vacation or take the summer off, or maybe they want to work on a big project like creating a course or something. And maybe it's a really big heavy lift to start creating a course, but also send the regular email newsletters. Whenever you need to take a break, this is a great opportunity to pop in the evergreen newsletter so you can still be nurturing your audience while you're working on your big thing or while you're just taking some me time. So it's a great thing to plug into the business. And then also for someone who's been working in their field for a while and maybe they're like, I'm ready to try something new. I'm ready to pivot. But there's still so many people who are interested in the old thing that you're doing. So one thing you can do is set up an evergreen newsletter to just be that part of the business. Like instead of you working on that business regularly, the evergreen newsletter does the work and it's still helping people. And then you can move on to the new thing you're really excited about.
Ooh, I love that. Would this be like a separate email list that you're growing and kind of maybe invite them to your new thing? Or it's almost like looking at two different businesses at that point.
Yeah, that's what I did. So after working with graduate students for like 7 years, I'm like, okay, well, I'm like 8 years removed from grad school. Should I be writing new emails for grad school if I haven't been there in 8 years when my old emails are great? I think it was 2021 was when people started asking me more and more about starting my own business. And I started helping professors create their own semester food businesses. And it was a lot to try to create content for grad students and then also create content for the professors. I was like, well, let me just past me do the work for current me. So now I have like this 6 months long evergreen newsletter that all my grad students go through. Like once they've gone through my funnels, and whether they bought or not, they can still hear from me through the evergreen newsletter. And now I'm free to like work on the new ideas that I have.
Oh my gosh, that's so liberating. And I love that because so many of us have multi-passionate clients that are kind of shifting around. And so it would be a way to keep that going without abandoning it. So that is so genius. Have you ever seen this work with a waitlist strategy? Like an evergreen.
Oh, that would be perfect for a waitlist, right? Especially if it's a launch you do regularly. So you've already created emails to talk about your offer. You've already nurtured your list before, like your older list. And so you have an offer coming up. You get people signing up to the wait list instead of just having them sit there and wait for you to tell them that the offer is open. You can be nurturing them and getting them ready. And then maybe there's a different offer that they want to do right now until the main offer comes out. So I think it'll be perfect as a waitlist strategy as well.
Yeah. I mean, I just have a couple emails on mine now, but my strategy last year was push everyone to the waitlist. It started just feeling so old. You know, you start saying the same thing over and over. And I'm like, how can I get that push without me getting tired of myself? And so I could see that working for somebody, if you have a client like me that does one big launch a year, like that could be a different type of strategy to try. What are some of the biggest mistakes you've seen people make with their evergreen?
Writing the emails from scratch.
You're like, so much work. Don't do it.
Yeah, just get the old stuff. Like, I mean, if you're new and you've never written an email, I think it would make sense to send out some live emails just to see what's resonating. So you're not building an evergreen newsletter of emails that don't convert or aren't resonating with your audience. But if this is not your very first email or first piece of content, do not start from scratch with your evergreen newsletter. Go back into the archives, choose your favorite pieces of content, choose the content that people have resonated with, and put that in first. Then you can be creative. And if you want to add new emails in there. You can rearrange the emails however you want, especially if it's a email sequence. You can mix it up. But yeah, definitely don't start from scratch. Don't create the whole thing at once. You know, just do some. Yeah. And then what's really helpful is maybe set an appointment in your calendar every month. I'm going to spend an hour today to add more emails to my sequence. And again, you don't have to write these emails from scratch, just source them or tweak them. And then I think maybe making it complicated would be another mistake. It's just an email sequence, even though it sounds fancy. Just click the sequence button in your email provider CRM. Yeah, it's just a sequence. Just add it on. Just create a sequence and keep adding emails to it. So you don't need any fancy tech to do it.
I know, right? And I don't wonder why business owners get so stuck on this email thing. Like, is it a perfectionist thing or like fear of judgment or like what's happening? Because there's so much work out there to be able to help clients with email marketing. And I know a lot of people I come across just think like, oh, well, I'm not a good writer, right? But like, what do you see with your students?
I don't know if I'm the best writer as a mathematician. I didn't really write a lot in college. But I think it's more about the message. I think it's about how you help people. And, you know, as your business grows, you can have people come in and rewrite your emails for you. I think the nice thing about the evergreen newsletter is that this is not your only chance. This one email is not make or break. And I think people get stuck like, oh, well, if I just send the one email every month, this one has to be the thing that moves my business forward. But with an evergreen newsletter, you get multiple chances to like win back the audience. This is also perfect for anyone who's let their email list go cold and they haven't been sending emails to their list. Just put everyone in an evergreen newsletter. And then that way you don't even have to think about it or feel nervous about reaching out to them. It's already put together and you just put them in there.
Oh, that's so smart. We get a lot of clients coming to us in that position where they've ghosted their lists and they don't know how to get started. And what I see people struggling a lot with is consistency in general when it comes to marketing, because it takes a lot to show up. And if it weren't for my team, if it weren't for repurposing content, like that would be impossible for me to show up every week with like brand new sparkly written reel and everything. And I think letting that go and finding ways where you can be consistent, I think that's why this is so genius. So thank you for sharing this. So what do you do when you're in a live launch and you have these people still going through your evergreen? Do you include them? Like, how do we balance the two?
So I actually am not a live launcher, but you can take people out. So you can pause your evergreen newsletter. So with ConvertKit, if you have an automation going, you can always pause it or create a rule that, okay, these people are on my evergreen newsletter. I want to pause them for a while and then just send them the broadcast for a launch. So you can definitely just take them out of the newsletter for a little bit and then put them back in if you need to.
Yeah, I like that. I use ActiveCampaign, and one thing you can do there is set up goals, and they can be date-based or they can have all kinds of conditions. But if they've met the goal, you can like bump them back down and they can skip all of the stuff in the middle. And so that is one thing that is very advanced and it can be a little bit confusing. So you definitely want to check out the ActiveCampaign trainings, but it's something that will help you not blast the messages to everybody and like really confuse them, because you're like, oh yeah, I have this summit and this launch and this thing I'm doing. So it's just good to think about that. But I almost feel like, I think I heard Jenna Kutcher has a 6 month or 9 month
process. I'm sure she does. Like that.
I feel like she's very efficient like that, but I've heard that. I've always wanted to go through and pay attention, but I really like don't have that kind of time. Mm-hmm. But I think it's so smart to see how even the big players are doing this. Like they're reusing their best content and taking someone through a process so they're ready to buy. And I can't thank you enough for like coming here and sharing this. I did want to talk to you a little bit about how you see the work going down for a marketing assistant or what some of these services or packages could look like, because I see email and social and blogging as good gateways to get your foot in the door and learn your client's business and then take on more. Then I say you get in at the marketing mailroom doing the weekly task and then you start elevating into launch manager, podcast manager, content manager, marketing manager, OBM. And email is a solid way because, as we said, clients struggle with consistency and showing up in the inbox. So do you have any ideas for services that a DMA could offer?
Oh, yeah. So if the business owner is a launcher, from what I've heard about launches, because you know, I don't really do them, but from what I've heard, they are very like energy intensive and there can be a slump after the launch. And you might not even feel like sending emails, but you don't want your audience to think, oh, well, she's only emailing me because she wants to sell me something. And yeah, so having an evergreen newsletter just plug in after a launch is going to be so helpful. So you can maybe offer like post-launch services where you kind of keep their business running for them after they're launching. That way they can serve the people that they have enrolled in their programs and they can still nurture the people who are on their list that didn't buy and prime them to be ready to buy next time.
That is genius, because I think after a launch, I don't want to do a podcast. I don't want to do social. I don't want to talk to anybody. And I just want to concentrate on my current students. So I never thought of that. I love it.
Yeah. So another option would be like vacation proof someone's business. That could be like an angle where it's like, all right, well, you're going on vacation. Let me put something in place that runs your business for you. Or the person who's ready to pivot, like you're pivoting, but you don't know what to do with this audience. You can still be serving them. And so you can offer these services to help them continue to serve their old audience without them having to do the daily work or weekly work of reaching out to them.
Do you have any idea like what you would charge if you were doing this for somebody else?
This is a great question. Like, because I've never really done like a done for you thing. Oh,
I'm putting you on the spot here.
I know. I feel like this is something that could be done monthly in someone's business. Like, it can be just an offer where you can say, all right, for this month, I'm going to go through your old content. I'm going to put together I don't know, 10 emails for an evergreen newsletter or 30 emails for maybe it's by email number. I'll put together 30 emails for you. And that's the package. I'll put together 30 emails for an evergreen newsletter. And then if you want more emails, you can add them on. I have no idea what someone would charge for something like this, but I think it would be something less than copywriting because you're using their own copy.
And copywriters charge anywhere from $150 to $400 an email. It kind of depends like the level. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I also think the package is kind of smart, like go in with a project rate. You can offer that ongoing, like I'll come in and I'll just keep building it and add whatever that number is, 8 more a month. Yeah, I think that's interesting. And I know when I do lead magnets and build out those funnels, it usually takes me 4 to 6 hours. It can depend on how organized the client is. So there are some factors you need to consider, like where are they coming to you from? But I always kind of say starting with hourly doesn't hurt either, but there's no way to speed up the copying and pasting. There's just not.
Correct. No, that is correct. I think maybe just like internally for yourself, think about how much you would like to get paid for this per hour and then create the package and just figure out kind of like math wise, like if perhaps I want to charge $30 an hour and it takes me 5 hours for this project. Maybe this project is like a $500 thing.
Yeah, just throwing maybe out it's here. Like 30 minutes per email to format it and then a chunk of time to comb through it and organize it. Like I would have that like audit and setup type of fee and then add it all together. So I love this. I think this is something I'd absolutely do. And another reason I would like it as a client is sometimes I need outside eyes to see my best work. And I mean, I try not to take numbers personally or get too invested, but it's hard when you put a lot of work in it. And sometimes I just need someone else to shine the light and be like, this is a great one. Let's do it. Yeah. And I'm like, sold. I'll do whatever you say. Like I'm all in. So that would save me time.
This makes me think this is actually perfect for someone who maybe is a newbie VA, because that way the output really isn't on you. It's what the business owner has already created and you're just organizing things for them. And then you can learn what things work and you can like add on to your skill set. But I think it's a great beginner offer too.
I think you're right. And then you learn their business and you see what's working and then your content ideas start swirling. You're like, ooh, this one did really well. So we should do that. And that's just how it works. That's how you move up the ladder. And it's what I've done for years with clients too. So okay, this was so fun. You do have a freebie for my audience where we can dive deeper into evergreen sequences. Tell us about this.
Yes, it's a private podcast that walks through my whole strategy for creating an evergreen newsletter, like why it's so helpful, who it could help. So it may help you identify which clients could be interested in something like this and maybe be able to position yourself to offer a service like this. It walks through how easy the tech can be. And that's what it's all about. It's like, what is an evergreen newsletter? Who is it for? How it can be helpful and how to set it up.
Okay. And it's just an audio.
It is an audio, just an audio. There's also a blog post that goes with it if you would prefer to read it, but it's an audio.
I love popping the AirPods in and going on a walk and learning at the same time. Yeah. That's what I do.
I think it's just like 16 minutes. So like you can learn everything there is to know about evergreen newsletters in 16 minutes.
Yeah. And tell me about the blueprint. I didn't know you had an offer about that. Is that something that our listeners could sign up for?
Oh, for sure. It's like a 30-minute training along with a Google Doc template. And you can like plug in your client's offers and their credentials. And it helps you map out the different cycles for the evergreen newsletter.
Oh, I love that. That seems like it would save someone so much time. So cool. We'll put that in the show notes too. And before we go, I have a couple wrap-up questions that I usually ask our guests, but I have to pick your brain on productivity. What would be your best tip for somebody in our situation? We are balancing our client work, our life. Some people are in 9-to-5s as well, trying to do the transition into freelancing. Do you have a good tip for us?
I'm someone with really strong boundaries. My friends have said this about me. They're like, I want to be like Toy. And she literally only does what she loves to do. And she doesn't do the things she doesn't like to do. And so it can be easy to be swayed like, oh, this person's offering this. Maybe I should offer it. I would recommend only offering the things you actually like to do. Because then when you show up, you're going to be more proficient, more excited about it, and it will drain you less. So whenever I can create something in my business that I'm excited about, that always helps my productivity. And then also planning your life first and then figure out where you have time for the business, I think that can be really helpful. So for me, I teach my classes on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I'm super drained on those days after teaching four classes.
I bet.
But Tuesdays and Thursdays, I don't teach. I just have office hours. So those are my prime business days. And so I'm never trying to do more than what I can do in those 2 days each week. So those are two things that I would share.
Thank you. It's such a struggle, the boundaries, not overscheduling, not overpromising. Yeah. So thank you for that. Okay, here's the questions I usually ask us at the end. One, how are you using AI in your business right now?
Ooh, that's such a great question because I found some new ways to use it. So I'm always learning. So I learned about a mini workshop because, you know, I love to teach. So I created a mini workshop and then the creators created a sales page kind of template thing. And so what I did was I told ChatGPT what my offer was all about, what all the features were. And then I said, I have this sales page template. Will you replace the parts in the template with copy that matches my offer? And so for each part of the sales page, I just put it in ChatGPT and it created wonderful copy for my offer. It's so good. I'm so proud of that sales page. So yeah, I've been doing that and I've been using it to turn my podcast episodes into blog posts. Mm-hmm. So I get the transcript, put it into ChatGPT and it creates a blog post for me. And so that way my podcast producer can just put it on my website. So those are the main two ways I'm using it.
I love that. And I love to repurpose into blogging too. Like I play a mean SEO game and for the same reasons, like we kicked off the show, that's another topic for another time. But yeah. I also started using Cast Magic. Have you heard of that? Castmagic.io.
No.
I'll give you my affiliate code because you can try it for 30 days. But you can get like the timestamps, the transcript, the blog, the social post, the email. It can spit out an assessment, support documents if it were a training. And oh my God, there's so much good stuff. I used it recently because I'm writing some pitches for some clients and I don't have time to listen to everyone's podcast. So I like stuck a podcast episode in there and it told me three fun facts. So I can use that in my pitch and it sounds like I listened. Like I now know this doctor takes cold plunges and, you know, I didn't listen to the whole thing. Like it pulled out the random stuff that like really show you're a listener and you're a fan. And so I'm playing around with that. So I'll send you the link later. But
That sounds right up my alley. Yeah.
I think you would like it. I think you could go well beyond the blog post is what I'm saying. So that's amazing. I think that is so helpful because I used to spend hours of my time listening to my client's blog and transcribing because I'm over 40 and like we didn't have all these tools. And like, oh my God, like I could have got hours back of my life. So I love that we can use AI. Okay. My last question is, do you have a best question that you ask on any kind of intake form when someone's jumping on a call with you to work with you, a sales call, one-on-one services? What's a question you like to ask?
I'm always asking what it would look like for this experience to be successful for them. Like, what do they want the output to be? And that helps me know if it's something I can provide or not, right? It gives me a lot of information. It also tells me where their mindset is as well. One of the things that I offer is a confidence and clarity call for professors who are interested in starting their own business. And they're just not sure if their idea is something that could be profitable or not. And so I just ask, okay, after this call, what would you say would happen on this call that would make it the most successful for you? And then hopefully I can deliver something like that.
Oh, I love that. I love that with any kind of paid strategy session too. So like it keeps you focused. So that's a good
one.
Toyin, this is so fun diving into Evergreen newsletters. Thank you for sharing and really revealing what it takes to build a successful Evergreen sequence. And tell everyone the best place to connect with you.
Yeah, so you can connect with me online at Dr. Toyin Ali, either on Instagram or YouTube. That's also my website. And I think that's my name on LinkedIn as well.
Okay, awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to see what kind of services and offers people create using Evergreen newsletters. You'll have to keep me updated.
I know. I hope we get a lot of feedback on that. And I already know people's brains will be spinning because I don't think I've seen anyone do this. And I love trailblazing and giving new ideas so people can stand out. And it's fun when we kind of go off the cuff and we just talk it out. And thank you. Thank you for sharing that because I'm all about my people being different. So thank you. Mm-hmm.
You're so welcome. Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, I could relate to her needing something outside of her normal job description. I felt like I was in that boat back in 2007. I was doing PR work. I was a PR director, but I had little business owners coming to me asking for help. And it just kind of made me so happy to do something a little extra outside of my normal promotion and PR writing for the current business I was in. And that was really fun for me. So if you're the type who you're nodding when Toyin's talking about lifelong learning, nerding out, you like to listen to podcasts, like you're totally in the right spot. Because I want to help people like you learn marketing services, really up level and create this profitable and sustainable service business. For some of us, this ends up being a full-time gig, a part-time gig. Sometimes it's just a side hustle, but I'm here for it. You are my people. You're the smarty pants. Maybe you were really good in English. Maybe you love trigonometry like I did. Like, hello, nerds, you're in the right spot. Okay, a couple big things that she pointed out. One, the habit of creating a weekly newsletter. I think when you first onboard a client, you're getting into that workflow and you're creating that habit. That's really tough. But once you get that down, it's easier to branch out to other things. I love this angle for the multi-passionate business owner who's kind of all over the place. You can help them stay focused and also release them of their business at the same time. I absolutely loved her thought of offering this as a post-launch service. Sign me up. I think that is so genius. I'm already kind of planning on doing this over the summer, having some newsletters just repeated. I think this is great to have someone come in my business, pull out my best stuff, set it up for me. Yes, 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 if it will save me time. You want to work with the clients who want to save time, who aren't pinching pennies. Those are going to be your best clients for the long term. They understand the value of your work, and they're also looking for time freedom because they know they can go out and make more money. Okay, I can't wait to see what you do with this. DM me on Instagram if you're going to set up a package like right now. And I will see you next week on the show. Go ahead and hit 5 stars while you're here. And I want to make sure you join me next week because I booked a pretty big TikTok star on the show to tell us all things TikTok, which goes very nicely with what we talked about today. You'll see what I mean soon. I'll see you next week. If you want to start earning income as a digital marketing service provider or digital marketing assistant, you only need your laptop. You can tap into what online business owners really need help with by downloading my top 10 most requested tasks. These are the services I did for years for my clients behind the scenes. You can take this download and apply it to your own business and start by offering these very same services. If you want to niche down in digital marketing, this is your guide. Just use the link in the show notes or go to emilyreaganpr.com/services.
Okay, I'm so sorry. There was a freeze here, but I know exactly what question you asked.
Okay. Okay. Like, can you repeat the question? Well, I think you recorded my end. I don't know if I can be as eloquent again, but
No. You don't have to. I have the question.
You know,
how long?
How long does it take to set up an Evergreen newsletter? I just got steroids for my lungs, so I'm like struggling over here. I'm like, don't cough. Hang on. Kind of like, okay, let me wrap it up. This is the part I suck at.